even with his last minute notices, is if we're spending that time with God and he's pouring into us, then we should be always ready to pour out. Amen? Amen. So with that, let me just open in prayer. Father, I thank you and I give you all praise, honor, and glory for today. As the world stops and acknowledge you as the birth, but we know, Lord God, that you came, that we will have that relationship with you. I ask that you bless each and every person here. I ask that the Holy Spirit rise up within me, not in me, but all of you, Lord God. These are your people. I'm just a vessel. So, Father, I thank you and I give you praise, honor, and glory for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's funny, Jeff started with talking about God's love. Because for the last, as y'all know, the last time I ministered, that's exactly where I've been. Learning God's love, learning who I am in God, knowing who I am in God, and the challenges of just repenting and going forward to just let him mold me, if I could say that. But in that, I want to talk today about God's real love. Real love. In the process, I've really been sitting before God and letting him teach me the real love. Because I thought I knew it. You know, we hear the word, we know what the word says, but the real love is that he gave. You know, that everybody knows John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And for me, I wanted that to become real. Because I thought it was real until circumstances and things happen. And you got to look at yourself. And in that, I kept saying, okay, God, you and I, you and I, you and I. So what am I supposed to do to become that real love, to become that 1 Corinthians 13? We're going to go there. I'm going to break it down a little bit of what I learned. And what I really been in my heart of hearts and knowing God, that I thought I knew to the real God that is loved. And, you know, we do things and the word says. But until the word became real, I used to read the word and, you know, this is what the word says. So you do what the word says. But until circumstances which, you know, with things in life that changes that you go through, it comes a point in time where you say, This word has to become real to me. And no longer a reading of it, but real to me. And with that, I said, okay, God, well, I'm going to get into this word and learn the word. And first of all, before I learn the word, I want to learn who you are. And I know that the love that you have for me and the love that you have for your people and the precious promises that you have for us. But can we really believe that what you said we can have? So for me, that was what it was. It's like, okay, I have to get in the word and find out exactly what it is. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13 for a minute. I'm going to jump into a few scriptures, but let me get there. Oh, no, come on. I don't have my iPad because I didn't bring it. I didn't know I was going to preach today. So I got to use my phone. Here we are. Let's start with 1 Corinthians 13. And at 4. Now, I'm going to put, where you see love, I'm going to put God, okay? So this is what I wanted to know. God is patient. God is kind. Let me start right there. Because as me being a human being, wasn't always patient, wasn't always kind. Because in the love is no being, he's not, God's not selfish. And in that, for me, I had to learn, you know, I had to get rid of selfishness. God had to show me that, you know, some of these things you can't become because it's all about you. And then two, it becomes God in the middle and not me, then I can't be able to do all these things. And I'm like, okay, God, I can love, and you act on it. You know, you say, I love you, and I'm going to act like I love you. And if you get on my nerves, then I'm going to let you know that you got on my nerves also. So, but the real love, the agape love that God has, I said, I can't get that unless I'm spending time with God. But God has to give me that. And the Holy Spirit will either teach you how to become that. And we're becoming that every single day. Amen? So God is love. God is kind. God does not envy. God does not boast. God is not pride. God is not dishonest. Others, you know, it does not dishonor others. I mean, God does not, it is not self-seeking. Let me start right there, because that was a big one for me also. I'm just going to tell on myself today, so that's why I'm ministering today, just to let y'all know exactly where I was and where God is leading me and the things in the process of what I learned. So in this self-seeking is always looking to find out, and I don't think, in my mind, I wasn't saying, okay, I'm not self-seeking. But as you look at things and things that's going around in your life, okay, my bills are paid, so I'm not worried about that. But self-seeking could be like, okay, just thinking about things just to benefit you and not others. And God doesn't want us to self-seek. He wants us to be able to give. The words that, you know, he's a giving God, so we're supposed to be a giving God and continually being able to love and give. So with that love, to give that love, for me, it was like, okay, I can't be self-seeking, but I can't be selfish. But God, I'm not trying to be selfish, but how do I go from being selfish to being trusting in you and being able to give and have that love that only you can give? And as I'm becoming an imitator of you, then how do I do that now? I found out ways that you can do that. One way is seeking God. And not when you feel like it. Or giving him 10 minutes of your time a day. Or giving him, okay, God, I'm busy right now, but I get back to you. And it's that seeking time where he wants to say, I love you. When you have a relationship with anybody, when you have a relationship with anyone, you have that time with them. You don't say stop, and I'll give you 10 minutes, and that's it. You know, as children of God, we don't make that a priority. We get so busy in life with things going on around us that we forget that, you know, just spending that time with him. And for me, it was like, okay, God, it's me and you now. I'm here by myself, and I got all the time in the world now to spend with you. And in that time of spending with God, I heard this message last week, and it was right on point. He called it, what did he call it again? Singleness. And in the singleness is that time that you spend with God. It's just you and God. And in that, I found out in that time of being by myself, just hearing God, sitting with him, and not audible, but in that word, looking and seeing what the word says, and believing and expecting to become that. But it was a daily time where I said, you know what? I'm just going to have this time. I don't have nothing else to do. But I'm going to just spend this time with God. And it's not like you got to spend 24 hours with God. It's not a 24 hour, but it is an every day and all during the day. Because you can still do multitasking, and I can still be on the computer doing stuff for Fia and still talking to God. Amen? You can stop at that time, you know, you have a lunch, you stop and say, praise God. It's always a communication where we're talking amongst each other, which before I didn't. I got so busy doing this for this person, this for that person, going doing, you know, chores in the house. And it's like, I got, my focus wasn't God-centered. It was what I had to do. So I had to change my priorities. So, you know what, God, let me make you, let's just seek you first, the kingdom of God. That's seeking God. That's where we got to sit before God and say, God, I want to hear from you. And more so, we need to hear from him. Because when he's leading us, then we have the right answer. Amen? All right, let me finish the Corinthians. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angry. That was something else that I had to deal with. Because if something got wrong and I got angry, it was like, okay, I'm angry. And even in that, it's this whole 1 Corinthians 13, which is a daily walk that, you know, and in times we still do get angry. But it's then what do you do with the anger? Where do you take it? Do you keep it? Do you boast on it? Do you continually, you know, just stay in there, stay at that one place? But no. So, okay, God, this is where I am. But what does your word say? I want that peace. You know, we always asking and praying, God, give me the peace. But I realized even in this point of time, he gave it to us. It was my responsibility to take the peace that he already gave me. So even with that, it says, okay, God, the things you already gave to us, now we just have to take those same things and apply it to our life and make what's my priority? You know, the things of the world or the things of God. So for me now, it's the things of God. I'm seeking God. And God, where is my purpose and what do you want me to do? And how can I make a difference? Not for myself, for somebody else, because you gave. I want to be able to do that same love and give. Amen? Amen. And it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, rejoices in the truth, always protects, always trusts, always hope, always preserves. Amen? Amen. So I just wanted to let y'all know a little bit where I am and where I am wanted to go and where I want to be. Where I want to be is in God's purpose, in God's will. God, what do you want for me? And seeking that is, you know, knowing where he is, knowing what I'm supposed to do. It just Jeff says, we can come to him, we can talk to him. He's there for us. He just wants us to say, here I am, Lord, use me. So as we're going through the next year, I ask and pray that, you know, seek God and find out what is it for him. And most important, have that relationship with him. You know, it's funny you have to talk to people. You're not, now I have a counselor that I talk with, and I had to let y'all know before. But I get with her, and I get to open up myself. I get to express that. You know, anything that I'm going through, she pushes it out of me. Like, I talk to her, and I say something. She goes, wait, stop. How do you feel when you said that? And I'm like, she keep asking me that. Every time she talks to me, she says, stop, stop. Okay, Angela, I want you to stop. You heard what you said? I heard what you said. Let's deal with it. I'm like, okay, now how do you feel when you said, I think I feel the same way when I said, when she said, no, I want you to go in your heart of hearts. I want you to let me know how you felt, how it feels inside. How do it make you feel when you're expressing these things that you're telling me? And I had to stop. And I'm like, okay, let me not say what is it that she wants to hear, but what is it that, what or why did I say that? And what's the root of that? And let's deal with that. And let's look at me for one, you know, because I was so into low self-esteem. And you had to go back to, I mean, she took me back to childhood, and I had to kind of look at things like, and life, what life threw at me and what I had to go through. And how do you deal with that? And she made me, you know, look at myself and made me say, okay, let's talk about that. Well, how does that make you feel? And it's like, with that, it became a freedom. But then she always goes, but she's good because she's a godly counselor. Okay, now, how do you see God in that? And she makes me look at it, not just through me, but, okay, how do God wants you to be? And how do you see God using you in this area? And I'm like, So it makes me, again, look at myself, but then also, okay, God, what do you see and what do you want me to see? So it's always good that, you know, you're able to have somebody to talk with, and she's been excellent for me. And it's been a point where I can now express myself a little bit more. I kind of like, if I got something to say, I'm not going to say it. No, I can say it. You can say it in a loving way. It doesn't have to be mean, but express yourself. If somebody, you have a concern, talk to the people that you need to talk with. Repent when you need to repent. Amen? But most of all, spend that time with God, because it's so important for you to spend the time so you can hear him. Because you won't know what to do until you hear the Holy Spirit, which he gave to us when we got born again. When we got born again, he gave us every gift that we have. He gave it to us, and it's there for us. But it's up to us. He's not going to push it. He didn't push it on. God doesn't push his will on you. When you accepted him as Lord in Christ, he didn't push his will. He didn't say, okay, I want you to be born again. He gave us a choice. Even in everything that we do, he's going to give us a choice. And we have to make that decision. He gave everything to us. But the decision is, what are we going to do about it? Amen? And how you do that is go into the Word. Find out his will if you don't know it. It's in the manual that I call the Bible. That's my manual for life. And you go through that manual and you find out every answer that you need is there. But if you never go to it, you would never know what it is. If you never spend that time with him, you never know the love that he has for us. And for me, it's the real love that I can see God's hands in it. And in the three things that I got from it, and I'm going to share it with you, I learned who I am. I learned that I can trust God. I learned that I can see God and hear him. And most important, I can see when the change comes, the blessings that he gives in stores because of our faithfulness and our belief and our obedience. He does give us a reward for it. And even the peace that he gives, that he already gave us, that we could just tap into, is there for each and every one of us. But it's a learning that I learned to get closer to him, to know who I am, and to know that I have, that he has my heart and that I can trust him. Amen? Amen. That's it. Pastor Fontaine, you want something? Amen.